Well, thank you for inviting us to join with you this morning. It's a joy that we can come together and just be one family together. I was going to see if my PowerPoint's there, but thank you. New Life probably wouldn't have known that you were on a study going through the book of Romans, but you do now. I know this is something you've been working on as a church for a little while now. But today we land at the beginning of chapter 5, and in which Paul says in the first 5 verses, he says this: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." It's already been mentioned, hasn't it, that in those first 4 chapters, it's fair to say they're pretty intense, dealing with things like idolatry, sin, the law, God's righteousness, and the righteousness that comes through faith. And then now comes this opportunity, if you like, to reflect back on all that's been so far. Those first 4 chapters were meant to challenge the readers' thinking, to point them towards their need for Jesus. The opening verses of chapter 5 reminded them of the good news of the gospel and how that brings peace with God. It's that peace that we're looking at this morning. And how can we find rest in a stressful world? Now, you've done it already this morning, but again, when you think of peace, what does that bring to mind? It will be different for all of us. But I would imagine there'll be common themes, if you like. It could be through music. Ironically, I was chatting to Mike. You may not know this, but I'm a fan of heavy metal. Somehow I find the world of heavy metal brings me peace. It could be through art, or, as we've seen already, the beauty of nature. They're just to name a few. I've been fortunate enough to visit Israel a couple of times, and there were many times when I was there when I would reflect on where I was and what that was saying to me. And with that could come different emotions. This is the Sea of Galilee. And as I stood there, I remember being completely absorbed by this overwhelming sense of peace. The little black blob on the horizon is a small boat. And it took me back to the story of when the sea was a storm, and yet Jesus calmed it, and that sense of peace that fell. Peace is something we all need. There are many ways we can try to find it. But ultimately, there is no true peace outside of God. In comparison to all the things, the amazing things that creation has, all those things that we enjoy on a daily basis, they do not deliver the satisfaction, the joy, the happiness, the peace, the love, the deep soul rest that can be found only in Christ. Mainly because they're not able to give us that place. C.S. Lewis put it like this. Sorry, I've just whacked my microphone. "God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing." Now, those words come from his book, Mere Christianity, which was published back in 1952. To understand what he was trying to say, it would be helpful to hear a bit more of what he said up to that point. God made us. He invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is meant to run on petrol. It would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel of our spirits. We're designed to burn. All the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That's why it's just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. I think C.S. Lewis puts it very well there. But that peace is ours as soon as we turn to God in faith. As Paul says at the beginning of the chapter, we have been justified through faith. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul uses the past tense to show us that nothing else needs to be done. Nothing else needs to happen for us to be made right with God. It's not something that will be ours in the future. It isn't dependent on us receiving a good appraisal. We don't have to reach a certain standard. Justification is the free gift of God. It isn't something any of us can earn. But can you imagine how hard would the Christian life be if we weren't certain of being justified until that day comes where we stand in front of God? I might well be a Baptist minister, but I can tell you I would be properly nervous if I thought that that was how it actually worked, that I wouldn't be sure until the day I stood there. I would imagine it would be much like it used to be when I was in court giving evidence. Sometimes you'd be gripping the rail, thinking, what's going to happen here? And if that was how it was, surely that would change how we saw God. We might feel frightened of him, feel the need to constantly prove ourselves. Almost certainly we'd end up feeling a bit insecure. Have we done enough? But the peace that justification brings comes because our status has radically changed. That heavy curtain of the temple that separated us from God and God from us, it's been removed. When that curtain was torn by Christ, it made it possible for us as believers, for the first time ever, to come directly into the presence of God. But this change of status, it goes even deeper than just being able to come into his presence. Once we were his enemies, we were the enemies of God. Now we're his friends. Once we were separated from him, now we have a relationship with him. When we turn to God in faith, we don't just have access to his presence as a one-off, but we are invited into a daily, lived-out experience of his love. One way we can think of this is to consider the relationship that exists within a marriage. For those of us who are, we have a piece of paper that tells us that our status is married. It's a legal document. But at the same time, we also have that daily experience of what it means to be married. All the things that come with marriage, love, companionship, friendship, all those sort of things. As believers, we can know that we're justified. We can look at what Jesus did on the cross. We can consider the testimony of what the Bible says. We can remember that moment when we gave our lives to Christ. But at the same time, we can think of the day-to-day relationship that we have with him. We can remember what walking with him is like. and we can be aware of his love poured out on us throughout each and every day. But just as being married doesn't guarantee things will be easy, neither does God promise us an easy life. In a marriage ceremony, one of the statements of intent made by a couple is to love, comfort, and honour each other in sickness and health, and to be faithful as long as they both live. God makes a not dissimilar promise to us, that no matter what we go through in life, no matter what happens, he will never leave us or forsake us. Having someone alongside you in times of trouble is so important, and it can make a huge difference to what that journey might look like. That person, whoever it is, they may not be able to change the situation, but we know we're not alone. And if nothing else, that can bring comfort. A few years ago now, I went through a really bad period of clinical depression. There were times where everything seemed so bleak. And although I got professional help, the person who helped me the most was my wife, Julie. We need our minds, don't we, to help us reason things through. And that's almost impossible when it's your mind that's the bit that's currently broken. Even though it was extremely hard for her, it helped me so much to just be able to talk stuff through with her, to be able to try and work out what was going on in my head. It gave me the hope that things could change. And there have also been times where I've got comfort directly from God. One that always sticks in my mind is when I first began my studies at Spurgeon's College, some 6 or 7 years ago now. Didn't do very well at school. We didn't like each other very well, and I didn't excel. I felt totally lost in the world of academia. I had no understanding at all of how I was supposed to write an assignment. I could get the learning, that was fine, but to put it down on a paper was a mystery. I didn't have a clue. And I'd been there about 5 weeks, and I said to my wife, do you know, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I've got what it takes. Then God reminded me of what had been said at the very beginning by the chaplain. Remember, God has called you to this. And so me and God had a chat, and there was this agreement between us. I would do my bit, and he would supply whatever else was needed. Sure enough, that's what happened, and I came out with a first class degree. Even now, I sometimes think I've got the wrong mark, but but the point is, God brought me peace and comfort in a place and a situation that seems so alien to me. And without these experiences of God's love, we might be inclined to get angry with him or question his goodness. And of course, there's times when we can still be confused at what's happening in our lives. We wonder where God is and what exactly he's doing. But as Paul tells us, we have been given the Holy Spirit, and it is the Spirit who constantly reminds us that we are loved and cared for. Without that experience of God's love, we could become bitter. We could become envious of those who it seems on paper to be having an easier time of things. We might feel resentful. We might struggle with other negative feelings. But it's the Spirit who fills us with those positive attributes, those things that Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit, things like love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's those fruits that help us develop character. But that being said, we are all works in progress. None of us are a finished product. And so we shouldn't beat ourselves up as if some of our fruit is struggling to ripen a bit. God's still at work. But without that experience of God's love in our lives, we could succumb to despair. But the Spirit fills us with hope. Hope is something that we all need. And it's hope that can help us find that place of peace, even in the direst, most, if you like, hopeless of situations. Now, I've shared this story with my church before, so that I hope they will forgive me for revisiting it. But for me, it's something that basically puts this very much into context. You may know this story yourself. It is well with my soul, in written in 1873 by Horatio Spafford. He was born in October 1828 in New York. He grew up to be a very successful lawyer and a businessman in Chicago. And he had a massive portfolio of real estate. He had a family that he deeply loved. He had his wife, Anna. They had five children, one boy, four girls. In 1871, at the height of his professional career, their little boy died from pneumonia. And later that same year, there was a huge fire in Chicago. Most of his real estate investments were destroyed. He lost an absolute fortune. 1873 comes, the family, they're planning a much-needed vacation in Europe. Horatio was very close friends with Dwight L. Moody and Ira Sankey, who were conducting an evangelistic tour here in Great Britain. And Horatio planned to join them while his family were over there visiting. Now, he'd planned to go with the family, but some business came up, he had to stay behind, and so they went on their own. That was his wife and his four girls. He would then take another boat and join them a short time later. A few days into their crossing of the Atlantic, their ship collided with another much larger ship. It sank within 12 minutes. 226 of the passengers drowned, including all four of their children, all lost. Anna, his wife, survived, but she sent a cable to her husband, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Understandably, he wanted to join his wife as soon as possible, so he booked passage on the next available ship. And while sailing across the Atlantic, the ship's captain summoned him to the bridge and told him that the ship was passing the exact spot where the ship that his family had been on had sunk and all those people had been lost. And it's recorded that that night, alone in his cabin, he wrote the words to this amazing hymn. For me, it's one of my favourites, even though I know it's very old. I think the words are incredible. But they're made even more powerful when we know the story that sits behind them. Let me just read them to you. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, that this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. How could anyone write words like that and find such peace in the face of the tragedy that had befallen them? There can only be one answer. It was rooted in his faith in God. He understood peace in his soul and where that was truly to be found. So then what about us? How do we find peace? How do we find rest in a stressful world? Well, as I come into land, these are just a few thoughts, things that, you know, perhaps have worked for me. Thoughts on how we can get to that place of rest and peace. To start by defining what peace is and perhaps what peace isn't. It isn't necessarily about having an easy life. Although we often think of peace as the absence of stress, pressure and the like. Yet the peace that we find in Jesus is a very different type of peace. As he himself said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." True, lasting peace comes from the salvation that is ours through faith in Jesus. That's what C.S. Lewis was saying. And then we have to separate truths from lies. When we're facing difficult stuff, it's all too easy, isn't it, to focus our thinking on the worst case scenario. We allow our doubts and fears to perhaps rule our hearts. How often do we find ourselves asking the what if questions in a very negative way? Well, the psalmist offers this word of advice. Turn away from evil, do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We need to remember that there's an enemy who wants to exploit those difficult times. We actually have to turn our backs on the lies that the enemy may throw at us in order to make a bad situation feel even worse, to make us feel more negative. And we need to turn our faces to what God says. We have to very intentionally seek peace by separating the lies from the truth. And then we need to surrender control to the one who controls it all. I don't know about you, but often I find I've struggled finding that place of peace, because I've been trying to control the situation myself. Maybe that's something you can identify with. But in my experience, and I would suggest for all of us, we will only really find it if we surrender control to God. We trust him for the outcome, not our own strengths and abilities. That's what I had to do with my college studies. If I just fretted about my own ability, I don't know what that would have looked like. But I was reminded to give the difficult stuff to God. When we do that, then, as the Apostle Paul wrote, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then a very obvious one, really, but sometimes we forget to do it. Meditate on what God's word has to say. use God's word as a form of encouragement. I'm sure all of you will have had verses that speak to you. And they speak in various different ways. When I first sat on my journey into the ministry, I was nervous, and there were times where I felt very much all at sea. And then one day the Holy Spirit directed me to yet a very well-known passage of scripture found in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Those words, in a sense, almost became my mantra as they reminded me that God had it all. He was in control. And that he knew the way, even if I was, frankly, sometimes quite clueless. Those words remind us, as I said previously, to give control to God. They're words that even now still take me to a place of peace. They're the password for my computer, although in a very cryptic form. And then, so if you get into my house, you will not get into my computer, trust me. I'm reminded of them every time I sit at my desk, because they're right there in front of me. Just a few simple pointers. They work for me. They can work for all of us. I'm sure you can think of others as well. But as a reminder again, wherever we look for peace, however we try to find that place of rest, the only true place to find it is in and through God. Let's just pray. Lord, we want to thank you again for your word. We thank you for how it speaks into our lives. Paul, when he wrote it, would have had no thought that people, all these years later, would be reading his word and seeking to apply it to their lives. But Lord, we thank you that it does speak into our 21st century context. We thank you that it reminds us of where we can truly go to find peace. Not peace that necessarily means that everything will be easy. Not peace that means we will be having necessarily a quiet life. But that deep place of peace where we know that we are secure in you. Lord, thank you for the fact that if we are yours, we can say all is well with our souls. Thank you, Lord.